Hi, this is Dick Biondi, and this is my favorite sound. The sound teenagers, and this is their favorite music. Those two sounds, rock and roll music and teenagers, for the past 9 years have occupied about 99% of this disc jockey's mind and heart and time. This album, a sort of a talking thank you note to all of the wonderful guys and gals that we've met and worked for, is dedicated 100% the singing, the little narrations, the poems, the music, to you, the teenagers of America, the most vibrant, most wonderful, and honest people we have ever had the pleasure of knowing or meeting. So, tell you what, let's sort of relax. You, wherever you might be, and us right here on this little black shellac disc. And we'll have a ball. What say? Let's go. You know, a lot of people ask us, since we deal with teenagers, being on the radio and going to record hops and things like that, what is a teenager? Man, that's a question that is about as difficult to answer as Einstein's theory of relativity. You know, a teenager's life isn't exactly mild. In fact, it's kind of wild if you stop and think about it. It's that rather uncertain time that they spend between adulthood and the child. It's the ice cream parlor, the pizza shop, the drive-in restaurant and movies. Yeah, those movies, baby. It's the corner where the gang hangs around and just talks about nothing in particular. A teenager is the kind of a guy or a gal that digs, you know, those little goofy jokes and their favorite song and their favorite singer. Being a teenager is a, well, it's sort of a feeling. It's a feeling that, well, that you belong to something, to a group. To a teenage girl, one of the most important things is having that steady guy and making sure you have that steady date. Yeah. It's staying out late once in a while and then coming home for the third degree from mom and dad. Yeah. It's talking on the phone for hours and hours and watching them all do a slow burn. Being a teenager is the fun and excitement of having the whole crowd around. You know, where everybody's hip to what's going on. It's like a football game or a basketball game. You've all seen the teenage girl that cheers and screams and jumps. And, man, she doesn't, some of them don't even know what's happening. But everybody else is, so she'll go along with the crowd. And if the game is that important, you'll see a lot of teenage gals stand there unashamed as the tears roll down her cheek. Yeah. If you're a teenage boy and it's football season, oh, you got a lot of things to do. You're gonna decorate that car, man, and it's gonna be the best in the whole parade. Until that guy from the other school decides he's going to tear it all apart. And man, are you going to nail him. Yeah. It's getting to the other school if you're playing at their field and making sure that you burn your school letters right in the middle of the field. Yeah. Teenage romances. Very, very important. They're the kind that last, so long. At least they seem to. And 9 times out of 10, they end up in tears. It's record hops, yeah. Where you rock and you roll, you twist, you waddle. And then you get the slow dances. And they just don't seem to be long enough. Yeah. Being a teenager is sort of acting goofy when you're all alone. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of looking around like that old man with the lantern, as he did for an honest man. Well, a teenager, he's looking for He's looking for a special kind of love. And somehow or other, he just can't seem to find it. Being a teenager? Well, it's having a ball. Once in a while, it's crying. Once in a while, it's having a misunderstanding. But most of all, the most important thing about a teenager, when you get rid of everything else, when you boil it down to the one main ingredient, a teenager is just being young. The kicks of being a disc jockey is that of hearing the teenage humor. And some of it is pretty wild. Some of it is pretty corny. But all in all, it's good, clean humor. And as the music indicates, we're ready to go out to the Old West and those two legendary heroes, the Lone Strangler and Tonto. As we join the Lone Strangler, he's standing next to Tonto, who is sending smoke signals. He says,
Well, Tonto, I see you're sending smoke signals again to the Indian across the valley. But what do you got that fire extinguisher next to the fire for?
Kimo Sabe. This be eraser in case me make mistake. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Nashville.
Nashville who?
My Nashville beat your Chevy any day in the week. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Guitar.
Guitar who?
Guitar early or all the seats will be gone. Tell me something.
What?
Do you know what is yellow, has four legs, weighs 1,000 pounds, and flies?
Now what?
Two 500-pound canaries. Back again to the Old West, where we see the Lone Strangler and Tonto. This time, the Lone Strangler is speaking.
Well, Tonto, I see you're ready to go out and get your little 2-year-old nephew a birthday present.
That right, Kimo Sloppy.
Well, what are you going to get him?
Me get a little nephew snake.
Well, what kind of snake? For a 2-year-old? What kind of snake are you going to get him?
Kimo Sabe. Only one kind of snake to get for baby. That be rattler. Every teenager in every city and town that has a radio station has a favorite disc jockey. We'd like to salute that disc jockey because he's a mighty important man. In fact, to our way of thinking, that disc jockey has probably got one of the greatest and most wonderful jobs in the whole wide world. What is a disc jockey? Well, he's the young fella that sits behind a mic. And boy, what a lot of responsibility that carries. For instance, he might be right there in the studio, or he could be on top of a flagpole, or sitting on top of a drive-in restaurant, playing special requests for the cars that drive in. He could be in a fallout shelter for 3 or 4 days at a time. But you gotta be sure of one thing, wherever that disc jockey is, and whatever he's doing, man, you gotta believe he's gotta be there. You know, this jockey is a pretty unusual type guy. To the people that make records, oh man, is he necessary. Yeah. A lot of people that make records say this guy is so difficult to deal with. Yeah. It's so hard to convince. Well, to the manager of the radio station, this jockey is he's a guy. He's a number with this many listeners. And sometimes, if he's lucky, he's He's got a pretty good rating. His voice? Now, that's something to be sold. And if you're listening closely to your favorite disc jockey, you might be able to tell that when he goofs just one word in a commercial, oh, does he feel bad. Ooh. Because he knows he's going to hear about it. Like the boss is going to storm in and say, hey, buddy, one more time and, like, shape up or ship out. A disc jockey has to be happy, bright, and as the saying goes, on, all the time. Ever stop and think about it? That happy disc jockey? Ever time think of how he stays that way? When his youngest kid is at home with the measles or mumps or a 104 temperature? Or maybe when his wife calls up and the water's running over in the basement and there's somebody at the front door that wants to sell something she doesn't want? Yeah. It's pretty rough for a disc jockey to be bright all of the time. But he does. To all of the people that live around him, you know, the people that work in the offices, in the stores, in the factories, oh, he's got it made. He's that rich guy that does nothing but sit around and play records. Yeah, that's all, you know. Man, you mean that's all you do is play records? That's what they say. Of course, if you were to talk to a disc jockey's wife, she'd have a little different idea on that. She'd probably say, what do you mean you got to work again this weekend? You've been working every weekend for the past 6 months. To the teenagers who listen to him, to his audience, whether it be rock and roll or soft, sweet music, a disc jockey is either the tops or he's a nothing. Because in this crazy radio business, there just doesn't seem to be any middle ground. And I'll tell you one thing, and every disc jockey knows it. Those people at the end of that dial can be fickle. You sit there and you wonder, you think, are they switching the dial? And man, to switch that dial, it's so easy. And if enough people do it, a poor disc jockey's livelihood is all gone just as fast as it takes to turn the dial. A lot of disc jockeys, along with being on-the-air personalities, have become entertainers of a sort. You know, doing record hops or benefits. And a lot of them are only for 10, 15, 25, and if they're lucky, $50. And sometimes those benefits, they don't pay anything. But our friend the disc jockey, well, he's gonna do them, you know that. First of all, because he really and truly believes the cause is worthy. And, you know, it's good public relations. But most of all, because he's a soft touch. The disc jockey is the voice you hear on a lonesome night. You know that. He's the guy that wakes you up in the morning. He's the guy that keeps you company while you're doing your homework. And sometimes you say, why doesn't he stop talking and play some more music? Yeah. Yeah. Let me tell you something. Many times a disc jockey sits there, closes his eyes while the record's playing, and he wonders, is there anybody out there listening except my engineer? Yeah. But if at the end of the week, when he walks to the mailbox and he sees one or two letters that say, thanks for making my night just a bit happier, you couldn't please a disc jockey more if you gave him $100 cash. A disc jockey. And no matter what you think, it's the greatest, the most wonderful job in all of this wide, wide world. Here's a poem written by a teenage high school gal in Illinois. I guess I never realized how lucky I could be. I never thought the day would come when you tired of me. Your voice was never sweeter than the day you said goodbye. And you'll never know how much it hurts, 'cause I'm too big to cry. If I knew then what I know now, you'd still be kissing me instead of someone else's lips, where my own should be. I say hello and wish you well each time as you go by. And you'll never know just how much it hurts, 'cause I'm too big to cry. You never looked more beautiful than the day you walked away. And when I can't sleep, I don't count sheep. I just count the mistakes I've made. I can't believe that you don't love me, no matter how hard I try. And you'll never know how much it hurts, 'cause I'm too big to cry. It seems so strange to be alone, and I never dreamed we'd part. The tears that fall, you'll never see, 'cause they're falling in my heart. To go through life without you, I guess I'd rather die. But you'll never know how much it hurts, 'cause I'm too big to cry.
Sing a little more about these people and shout their praises from every roof and steeple. They're America's teenagers and they sure are great. Hey, they come in all sizes, moods and weight. They drive custom cars and real slim slacks. Their hairdos are wild with purses big as sacks. A teenager is honest as can be, and we should all be proud of them, both you and me. Let's wind up this little song about the teens, the kids that wear sweatshirts and dirty blue jeans. They carry transistors and wallets full of pictures. They eat weird sandwiches and drinks of gooey mixtures. They dig slumber parties that last until dawn. And they hate it when they have to mow the lawn. So again, let's salute them, the teenagers all, and hope as they go on, they'll keep having a ball.
You know, a disc jockey receives a lot of compliments, whether it be for the show he does, or whether it be from someone he's helped by being happy or funny on the air. But as far as this disc jockey is concerned, the greatest compliment we ever received was not on the radio, not at a record hop, but in a distant town far from Chicago. And this story is one that I hope you'll listen to rather carefully, because it's about something every teenager, and maybe especially the teenage boys, can appreciate. We were out near Savannah, Illinois, to do a record hop. And it was a great hop. The kids danced, they laughed, and they poked fun at this skinny, ugly disc jockey. And at 11:15, we said goodbye to the sponsors of the dance and headed for home. And to this point, it sounds like, well, a pretty routine night for a disc jockey who does record hops. However, it wasn't routine, because on that day, we received the most beautiful compliment we've ever had, and one of the most memorable experiences we feel we'll ever have. The events that took place started an hour and a half before our record hop started. At 6:30, someone came in and said, "Can you take a short ride just outside of town to say hello to a group of boys?" The boys had found out that we had happened to be in town, and since they had listened every night, they wanted to see what this skinny idiot disc jockey looked like. And so at 7:15, we were sitting in a car parked outside an army-type barrack, if you have, in a state park, talking to a gentleman who was in charge of the boys we were to see. And inside the recreation room, there were 50 boys, ranging in age from 14 to 18. They came from all over the state. And until recently, many of them had been at the state reformatory for crimes ranging from running away from home to armed robbery. I think every person knows that you get nervous, whether it's before a test, before meeting someone. And this disc jockey has been nervous a lot of times. A lot of times before talking to teenagers, but never as nervous as at 7:15. What do you say to 50 boys, 50 boys under guard? How do you keep from touching on a subject that might prove embarrassing? And so you enter the building, and some 50 boys, all races and all creeds, big and small, stand up silently and just look at you as you're introduced. And so you say to yourself, this is it. And you walk over and you say hello to the first guy. And you say hello to the second and the third. And pretty soon the ice is broken, and you get the feeling as you're talking that these poor guys are so lonely and so starved for just a little bit of attention that maybe you're doing them a favor, but you're doing yourself the biggest favor of all. As you talk to them, you get the feeling, as we did, that they are out of touch. As one big boy from the south side of Chicago said, "Hey, would you mind telling me how my school is doing in basketball?" Another fellow asked a very, very simple question. "What's the number two tune on the hit parade this week?" and they just stand there and they talk. And pretty soon it's time to leave. From talking to them, we felt that most of them, at least from what we saw, will be pretty good citizens when we leave. And we're willing to bet our bottom dollar that they'll help other kids that stray off the straight and narrow. The point of this is very simple. These young fellows have goofed. As we said, most of them are teenagers. But everybody goofs. How about the two big goofs the adults started in 1917 and 1939, huh? The feeling we got was that these fellows were just a little bit shaken to leave the place because they were worried about what the talk would be when they got back to their hometowns. Maybe that's what, in a sense, sends them back if they have to go back. The feeling that nobody will forget that they made a mistake. Oh, that biggest compliment? It's a selfish compliment, but it's one we'll never forget. Because as we walked out of the door, a young fellow from Chicago turned around to the guy standing next to him and said, "Okay, buddy, pay up. I told you he'd come out." Some people say a teacher is made out of steel. Their minds can think, but their bodies can't feel. You teach 6 full hours, and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. Well, I was born one morning when it was cloudy and cool. I picked up my register, headed for the school. I wrote 83 names on that homeroom roll, and the principal said, "Bless my soul." I got 84 kids and 42 seats. 60 are talking and 24 are asleep. I can hardly get them through the door. And if I don't watch out, they'll send me some more. The last bell rings and I start for the door. My head's a-ringing and my feet are sore. I taught 6 full hours and my day is made. But I still have 300 papers to grade. You teach 6 full hours. Well, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. I'd go to St. Peter, but I just couldn't stay. I'd have to come back for the PTA. So far on the album, we've had a lot of fun. We've kidded around about teenagers and their likes and their dislikes. We've sort of shattered your eardrums with our singing. And we told a few corny jokes and talked about your teachers. Right now, let's get serious about teenagers. A lot of people fail to realize that the teenager, whether he's in high school or college, is not a scatterbrained, flighty individual. The average teenager is pretty hip to what's going on. Last October, during the height of the Cuban crisis, we received a letter from a girl in Middle Tennessee. She said a lot of things in that letter about the condition of the world at that particular moment. But the one thing she said that stuck with us, because it came from a 16-year-old girl, is what we'd like to tell you now. It's very simple, a very short few words, but this is what she said. "Too many people pray when things look bad and forget to say thanks when things look good." A teenager said that, whether she heard it from someone else or whether she thought it up by herself. She wrote it down. She took the time to tell someone else something as nice and as profound. You know, when you stop and think about a teenager, don't sell them short. Because they know what's happening. And they dig what's happening, too. The teenage mind is a serious one. They have a lot of fun, and they goof around. But when you sit down and you talk to them, you find out they're concerned with the same things most adults are. Because after all, it's their world that's up ahead. And they're not taking it lightly. So the next time you as an adult, or you as a parent, start to discount as foolish something a teenager says, remember this line from a 16-year-old girl in Middle Tennessee. Too many people pray when things look bad and forget to say thanks when things are good.
Talk for a minute here about some of the record hops, you know, like those goofy things you do.
Well, that's an idea, because one of the biggest things with teenagers is record hops and sock hops.
Yeah, I sort of like them because they got all those pretty girls and those good-looking guys, and they're dancing, and, you know, they're having a real ball.
You're not kidding.
Yeah, you know, I thought maybe it'd be a nice idea if you told them about some of the things that happens at record hops, you know, like the time that, you know, you were taking everything out of that girl's purse and you were...
Never mind.
Well, you know, I thought it was an idea. In case you were interested, I didn't...
Never mind. You know, record hops are a wild, wild place. And, you know, kids, they have a ball.
Yeah, I never forgot the last time we went to one. Remember they gave you that pizza?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I remember they gave you a pizza that had piccalilli, mustard, peanut butter, and cottage cheese, sauerkraut, green pickles.
Oh, you have to bring that up?
Well, I figured that was pretty good because after you waited, you fell off the stage.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Well, you know, I think another thing we ought to do is just remind everybody.
Remind them about what?
Oh, you know, remind them of the time that you remember you were standing up there and the mic went out?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that funny?
Yeah, it was, because Mike was the band.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty funny idea. Everybody's having a ball at the record hops.
Yeah, you want to tell them about one more thing we did?
Yeah, I got a good one. I think you'll like this. You remember that time when we did that hop and there were 700 kids and they did that one big line all around the floor?
Oh, that was a wild one. That was the wobble, wasn't it?
Yeah, I like record hops because you see all these new dances and some of them aren't even new.
What do you mean they're not new?
Well, I mean like they're newer than new because nobody else has done them except the kids.
Yeah, that's a great thing about record hops. They're great. And if you're going to your favorite record hop, take a tip from us. Have a pizza, do a new dance, but
like everybody else.
Lap it up, dance it up, and have a ball.
Yeah, I mean, like I'm going there right now.
Where?
I'm going to have a pizza.
Okay. And the tears fell so quickly, they washed away the words I put down. Those words were in a letter that was never mailed. They were written by a young man in his room on the longest, loneliest, and saddest night of his life. He had just returned to the big city where he worked from his hometown. He had gone home to bury his mom. The letter in full goes like this. Dear Mom, gosh, how does a guy start a letter to his mom? I mean, especially a letter like this. I wish I could count the times I've started. And like everything else I've done, this is probably silly. But I couldn't talk to anyone back home I couldn't say what I felt. And besides, a man just doesn't talk about things like this. Mom, I know you're in heaven. And I hope you'll be watching over me from now on. What I really want to say is that I'm sorry. I mean, so very sorry. That I really and truly didn't appreciate you as much as I should have when I had you here. It's not the little things that all the kids do. That's not what I'm talking about. It's the things like always wanting to be out with the gang and instead of being at home a little more. Not studying regularly so that you could be proud of me. And I think I realize now how you must have felt when I dropped out of school because I was going to make a lot of money and be a big man. And that silly old school was just holding me back. And I'm not trying to think about the times that I came home late to eat dinner. Oh, I wish I just had one slice of your homemade bread. Mom, you were so right when you asked me not to go away from home so soon, but to stay until I learned a little more about life. Oh, the nights that I longed to put my head on your shoulder and feel your arms around me just to let me know that everything was okay. And to hear you say that everything was going to work out right. Well, what I'm trying to say, Mom, is that I miss you so bad. So very much. Already. And it's only been 3 days. I don't know. I guess it's helped a little to write to you, Mom. And I hope that you can read what I wrote from up above. Oh, now look what I've done. I've been crying as I've been writing. And the tears fell so quickly, they washed away the words I put down.
Too soon. And that's about it. This is Dick Biondi. I'd like to take just a moment here to say that we're at the end of the side, the end of the album. This may not have been the most wild, the most outstanding thing you've ever heard, but let me tell you something, everything in it, every word, every note, as we said earlier, is dedicated to you, the teenagers of America. It's been a real kick. Sort of like a guy that's had that long, long yearning to write a book. Because of 9 years, we've had the pleasure of getting the most personal satisfaction, the most honesty, the most happiness from working with teenagers and the music that is just right there, rock and roll. Wherever you are, let's remember one thing. If you're a teenager, you be happy and be proud of it. You keep smiling. And remember one thing, if you can. Whenever you're around a radio dial, you turn it on and give a listen. You'll know it's us, because 100% of the time, at the end, we always say, God bless you. Bye-bye, Duke. Thanks a million for dialing our way.